Sure, it came from Mid-America. Oklahoma, knuckle drop. Part cop radio.
Boy, it seems so long since I've been in front of a microphone, I just don't know what to do. I hope I remember how to speak. Okay, I'd like to talk about cocaine. Specifically, the drug death of Righteous Brothers singer Bobby Hatfield. Everybody thought he had a garden variety heart attack, but it turns out he had a heart attack triggered, they say, by cocaine. You know, every time they arrest a celebrity, they always give you the percentage of alcohol that was in their system. They always release that figure. And sidebar, stupidly, they tell you that so-and-so was arrested with almost twice the amount of alcohol allowed in that state, or whatever the phrase is. You know, if some states are 0.10, some states are 0.8 or whatever, and if you come back with a 0.15, then you're almost twice as drunk as, say, Florida. But if you're in a different state, that's a 0.10, and you come back 1.5, you're only 1.5 times as drunk instead of twice. Well, no, you're a certain amount of drunk. It doesn't matter what state you're in. States and their individuality are so stupid. If we had some federal laws, if we had some conformity and some unanimity, this whole country would work a whole lot easier. Everything would be easier. We've been through this a few times, and I'll wrap this up, but you wouldn't want a certain level of expertise that would allow you to be a doctor in, say, Louisiana that was less than what they determine in California is needed. We should have we probably have a federal standard on doctors, and that's a good thing, because there's no sense in having, you know, in Arkansas, you can be a doctor after 1 year. Well, no, we don't like that. Okay, so states' rights are out of the way. Let's talk about the Righteous Brother. I always think it's a mistake to lie when you're talking about drugs, and I consider this to be a form of lying about drugs. Don't tell us that he died from a heart attack caused by cocaine. Tell us how much cocaine was in his system. But they won't do that because they're afraid. It's real possible Bobby Hatfield probably had some money. What I'd like to know is, did he do a single line? Did he do 1/20th of a, I don't know how big a line is it. Did he do 1/20th of a gram? Or did he do an entire gram? Was he doing Belushi size? Was he doing Scarface size lines? We recently watched the Scarface movie, and towards the end, when old Al Pacino was having a bad day, he dumped, I don't know, maybe a pound of cocaine on a desk, and he formed one big line with using his hands. It was the Sam Kinison line. And he just ran his nose through it, and he came up, you know, a little wide-eyed, you might say. But they're afraid to tell us these figures. They want us to think that if you do a line of cocaine, you're going to die. This is part of the problem that they refuse to level with us. If they would level with people. Do you remember, this is so many years ago, I might have been in college. Len Bias, I think, was his name. He was drafted, let's say he was the best basketball player in college that year, and he was drafted by the Celtics. And on the day, either the day he signed or the day he got drafted, one of the two, he celebrated with a bunch of cocaine. And what happened, the way I remember it, which might not be the way it happened, but the way I remember it, once the local dealer knew that his friend Len Bias was going to be a multi-gazillionaire, he dropped by and gave him, I think, maybe a quarter pound of cocaine, something like that. He gave him a whole bunch. He didn't give him a couple lines. He didn't give him a gram. He gave him a rock the size of your fist. And so Len Bias was dead before the evening was over. But they refused to tell us what he did. Now, if the man lined up gram lines and did 8 of them and had a heart attack and died, well, that would tell us, don't do 8 grams of coke in one time. But no, they refuse to tell us because they're afraid if we have the information, we might use it in a logical and sensible manner, assuming you can logically and sensibly do cocaine. But if they would release these results, then a pattern would emerge over time that if you're a newbie and you do a gram on your first time, on your first snort, you will probably die. Once at the old Rock Island, I admit there was cocaine in the 80s. I was a victim of it. There was times you couldn't hardly take a breath without some coke flying up your nose. And I know that's just awful, but those were the 80s, and Reagan was in charge, and people wanted to escape. And I owned a live rock and roll club, and it was mostly frequented by prostitutes and drug dealers, and rock and rollers. It was a very educative time. But back then, there was a lot of coke everywhere. And I had a bartender at the Hard Rock Island who did some cocaine. Real cute little gal. And I asked her what the most she had ever done at one time, and she said, gram shots. And I thought, oh, those two words together. But yeah, she'd get her little cocaine, and I don't know how, if you'd use a spoon or what you do, but she put it into a syringe, and she would, bam, she would, not, of course, at the club or at the time. This is talking about in her past, in her history. If you do a lot of cocaine, I'm not a doctor, but if you do a lot of cocaine, apparently she was alive at the time, so you can do gram shots and come away alive. But if you're a newbie and you do a gram shot, you probably won't. If this righteous brother did one tiny line and died, and they told people about that, this is why cocaine is dangerous, because you can do one tiny line and die. But that apparently is not true. Apparently, a couple of lines won't kill you. I'm guessing a couple of lines has never killed anybody, and that's why they have to keep this information hidden. Because if you can safely do some cocaine, oh, then yeah, there'll be some more people do it, but, you know, knowing the truth about a dangerous drug is almost always good. Disclaimer, I haven't done any cocaine in about 15 years. I think New Year's Eve 89 was the last time we chose to do it. We've had lots of offers since then, but just not interested because of the crazy heart scare. So, if they would quit lying to us, if they would tell us the truth, you know something else that pisses me off? These commercials you see on TV, the little toddler walking towards the swimming pool in the backyard, and they say, oh, it's okay, you can smoke some pot. When the parents come home and you find their dead baby floating, all you got to do is say you were high and we'll understand. Well, yeah, that's a real dumb shit argument. You know, somebody that likes Bush could be watching him on TV give a speech and be distracted from watching the kid and the kid drown in the pool. So that means we should get rid of Bush, right? Wait, I accidentally stumbled into something right. But the point is, pot is not the problem. You don't smoke pot while you babysit. That's stupid. Nobody suggests you should smoke pot while you babysit. But if you have no children and it's a Saturday night and you're going to a movie or you're going to play some pool or you're going to play some poker, if you know, there's nothing wrong with a little slight God's flowers to make your evening a little nicer. And the idea that you don't want to do it babysitting, well, that's effing obvious. But these stupid liars that are running the anti-drug foundations or whatever they are, they're lying to us. And when you lie to the kids, they're going to understand right away that you can't be taken seriously, and they will disregard what they're doing is crying wolf, like Bush with Iraq. When you start screaming WMD every time, after a while nobody cares. So that's why when these anti-drug people start saying, oh, if you do a puff of marijuana, the baby's going to die, the kids just laugh. I know a guy in college, what was his name? First name was David, and he was so smart. I mean, you just figure out of a college, there's going to be a couple of monstrously intelligent people. He was so smart, he was taking all the super advanced physics and calculus courses that what was striking was he was taking these classes like with two other people or one other person in the class. He was taking courses that 40 people didn't take because he was the cream of the cream of the crop when it came to intelligence. And I would see him sit down to do his homework, and he would roll a big fat joint, and he'd sit there and smoke it and read through these technical manuals or whatever, the physics or whatever it was. And he would go take the test the next day and get an A. He had an absolutely stellar 4.0 or whatever the highest thing you can possibly have. And he was taking them, like I say, the courses that nobody took. And he did it all on pot. So when someone tells you how, if you smoke a joint, and it's true, for most people, you don't want to smoke and try to study. I don't want my doctor or my pilot high when he's trying to do his job or when he's trying to learn his job. But some people can do it, and when a person like me sees a guy like this David fellow smoke one and then set records for academic performance, it reinforces that they're just lying when they say, don't do it, because you'll never graduate, etc., etc. So, in closing, if we could get a little honesty, and this includes the Democrats too, everybody's afraid Bill Clinton could have taken some more steps to bring sanity to the drug laws, but the Republicans and talk radio and the networks and everybody would have piled on him and said, oh, the druggy president, and it just would have never ended. But if we could take religion out of it and put a little logic and common sense in it, we could save a whole lot of lives, but no, that would anger the invisible cloud being, and you can't have that. I sit here frustrated, and I'm a little pissed off, but it might make for some good radio. I got a two-pronged pissed off attitude. One about Dean, one about Clark. Headline in the Wednesday USA Today, Dean urged Clinton to take unilateral action in Bosnia. They quote his statement, I have reluctantly concluded that the efforts of the United States and NATO in Bosnia are a complete failure. If we ignore these behaviors, our moral fiber as a people becomes weakened. We must take unilateral action. So these hand jobs at USA Today are trying to sell you on the idea that Dean flip-flopped on this, and that's horseshit, and it's bullshit, and it pisses me off. There is a whole world of difference between stopping an ongoing genocide and beating up a bully with air power where every man came home. There's a big difference between that and Bush's horseshit assertion that Saddam was so close to attacking us that there was no time to wait for the UN. There was no time. We couldn't give the weapons inspectors another week because Saddam was ready to launch and he was going to wipe out the East Coast. It's come out since then that the CIA, somebody, briefed a bunch of senators. I think Nelson of Florida is the guy who broke the story, but he said the CIA, under Bush's orders, called this meeting of those, whatever, the Foreign Relations Committee or the Military Committee, whatever, of the Senate, and said, Saddam is capable of hitting the East Coast right now. We can't wait another second. That's why we went to war, because Bush lied his ass off. Clinton didn't lie about Bosnia. That was, I don't know if there was hundreds or thousands of people being killed every day, but yes, that was time to act. You know, another difference between the two, the whole world did not beg Clinton to hold off invading Bosnia. That didn't happen. Nobody said, please don't go in. Nobody said that. But the whole world, minus that poodle and whoever the guy in Spain is, begged us, please don't murder Baghdad. There's no reason to murder Baghdad. It's just crazy. What are you doing? Slow down. Sober up. Just because you have a military doesn't mean you have to use it right now. So there's a little bit of a difference. But the USA Today whores are trying to make you think that Dean is flip-flopping on this. But it's not a flip-flop. You can be for saving lives and against invading a country that never did a thing to us, that granted, Saddam's a bad man, everybody knows that. If Bush, the son of a bitch, would have told us up front, I don't care how many hundreds or thousands of lives we have to sacrifice, I want Saddam out of power. America would have said, no, that's not worth it. That's a bad deal. That's a poker hand we don't want in on. We don't want to put 500 soldiers in the pot and gamble and see what happens. That was horseshit. We've been screwed by the Bush government again and again and again. The whores at USA Today are trying to cover for Bush. And it's just bullshit for them to do that. Dean did not contradict himself. He did not flip-flop. He was for stopping genocide, and he's against murdering Baghdad for no damn reason. All right, that's one. Number two, Wesley Clark. I look for it, but the whores, you know, God damn it. I heard this on the radio. I look for it on Google, and it's not there. It, you know, if I had a staff, they would have found it. But there's some kind of quote that Wesley Clark said in the last, maybe in the last year, year and a half, something like that, that in his opinion, Saddam was working with Al-Qaeda, and they're trying to make him out to be the big flip-flop artist. That is bullshit. There's a big difference between one man's opinion who is out of the loop, He retired when Clinton was in, so he's been out that long. He's got friends at the government. He's got friends at the Pentagon, but I assume they're not sharing classified information with him. If Wesley Clark had an opinion that Saddam is the type of guy that would deal with terrorists, fine. That's a man's opinion. But what Wesley Clark did not do is say, God damn it, we've got to invade right now. We can't wait another second. We can't wait one more day. We've got to launch this invasion because America is in desperate trouble and we're about to be attacked and bombed by the mustard gas or whatever bullshit the CIA told the senators. And I'm even going to give some of those like carrying them a break, because if I'm a senator and the CIA analyst tells me Saddam can hit the East Coast anytime he wants, yeah, I'm going to war. You bet your ass. Don't think because I'm against this Iraqi war that I'm some dove. If someone's ready to attack me, I say we launch against them. But yeah, we preemptive launch then. But that was always a lie. They knew it was a lie. Bush wanted that oil. He wanted to give himself a bump in the ratings. They can't make any money at peace, so Bush and his BFEE bastards, they sacrificed those hundreds of men to make money. But America's not worried about it. They don't care. That's okay. If we have to lose 1,000 men to make Bush rich, that's okay. It's not okay with me, and I'm goddamn pissed off about it. I said hallelujah to the 16th loyal fence. You're getting down on your knees. And it's time for you to do this again.
What the hell is a Bart Cop? If you don't know, you're not listening.